Hey guys, and welcome back to Uplift Fit Nutrition Radio. Today, I have Dr. Eric Balcavage back on the podcast. You guys know I'm a big fan of his. He recently just wrote and launched his book, The Thyroid Debacle. And I am over the moon excited about this book. I was just telling him I was going to pause on my thoughts because I have never had a book that really dove into the difference between the allopathic and the aka the conventional versus the functional medicine side of thyroid health, plus diving into the mechanisms and more. So I'm very happy Dr. Eric is on here. I'm honored to have you back, Dr. Eric. Thank you so much for taking your time and your busy schedule to come back on my podcast.
Well, thank you for having me back on. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Now, I know that there's a lot in this book that you're going to go over, and we're not going to share the secrets because you guys got to buy his book because it's freaking phenomenal. But I want to start because you mentioned something in the book that I absolutely love. You mentioned, when does hypothyroidism start? And basically talking a bit about it not being a starting disease of the thyroid gland itself. So I wanted to start the podcast with that because that's, and a lot of people are going to be like, wait, it's not my thyroid that started everything. That's not the issue and the root cause. So do you mind digging a little deeper in that?
Yeah, I think what I've found in my research is that lots of people struggle with chronic hypothyroid signs and symptoms, maybe some hyperthyroid signs and symptoms long before they ever get a diagnosis of a glandular problem. If we look at the science says that it takes about 90% of the thyroid gland to be destroyed before an official diagnosis of hypothyroidism. So that's not the beginning of a problem. That's the end of a problem, right? And what triggers hypothyroid symptoms isn't necessarily how much thyroid hormone's in the bloodstream. It is important, but that's not really what's driving hypothyroid symptoms. It's the amount of thyroid hormone reaching the receptors in the peripheral tissues. And so that tissue hypothyroid state or cellular hypothyroid state can occur as a result of adaptable changes for days, weeks, months, or years, or even decades before somebody's officially diagnosed with a glandular disorder.
And I absolutely love that you mentioned the cellular hypothyroidism because that is another thing a lot of people don't truly understand. And you outlined that directly in your book very well, talking about, okay, these are the guidelines. These are the practice, quote unquote, guidelines that doctors typically follow in regards to both diagnosing and treating hypothyroidism. And then you discuss what is not addressed, right? Cellular hypothyroidism, stress, cell danger response. So can you tell my listeners about that cell danger response, especially about those damps and pamps that you mentioned in your book, because nobody knows about those.
Yeah. So when we talk about physiology, right? Optimal health, I got good health, I got good, bad health. We really have to talk about the cells, right? And so we're made up of trillions and trillions of cells. And what determines our state of health or overall well-being is how functional those cells are. And cells operate in one of two modes. They're either in low stress or what we call homeostatic regulation. And the primary focus there is on manufacturing, right? We're making enzymes and hormones and proteins and peptides and neurotransmitters, and we're making digestive enzymes and we're making healthy skin cells. You're like, we're making stuff and we're burning a ton of energy to make that stuff. That's homeostasis, low stress state. The other state that the cells can be in is in an excessive stress state, or what we call a cell danger response. And in that excessive stress state, the cell's primary goal or role is not to manufacture. The primary role is to defend. And in that situation, normal manufacturing processes are toned down, and the immune inflammatory processes are ramped up. And so when somebody says, hey, I don't feel good, I feel like I'm hypothyroid, I feel like I got hypothyroid signs and symptoms, they probably have hypothyroidism at a cellular level, but that's not being picked up on conventionally in allopathic medicine when they're looking at it. They're looking at the gland, not necessarily looking at the cell. And in functional medicine, our job should be to look at what's going on at the cell. And the problem is most times that people don't feel well, they're going into a physician, allopathic or functional, who's making an assumption, a couple assumptions. One is that the person's in homeostasis when they probably aren't. And two, that their physiology regulates the same in homeostasis and allostasis. So, and it doesn't. I mean, it's pretty clear. All you have to do is be in a excessive stressed state for a short period of time, and you realize that your physiology works totally different, right? Oftentimes I'll ask clients, like, do you like speaking in front of a group? If they don't understand the idea that their physiology could work a little differently. And they're like, no, I don't like speaking in front of a group. All right, I'm going to put you in front of a group of like 500 people, and I want you to talk on a topic you don't know much about. So how do you think your how do you think you're going to feel? And they're probably going to do one of the four or five P's, right? They're going to maybe pass out. They may poop. They may have to pee. They may need to puke, right? All these things, that's not kind of optimal physiology, but that's their body going, oh my gosh, I'm in danger. I got to do something. Versus, you know, being in this kind of calm, relaxed state. So the other part of that you asked was DAMPs and PAMPs. What are these things called, DAMPs and PAMPs? Cells in danger often send out signaling molecules to alert the other cells and tissues that there's danger going on. DAMPs are damage-associated molecular proteins or peptides that are particles that can be released from the cell. And when a cell is in danger, it can release these pieces of the cell out into the bloodstream, out into circulation, and they go out there to tell the immune system to kind of say, hey, immune system, I'm the tissue being damaged, come help me. So if there's pieces of your pancreas getting released out into the circulation, your immune system goes, oh, the problem's at the pancreas. And so now the immune system knows where to head. PAMPs are pathogen associated molecular particles or proteins or peptides, however you want to say it. And a cell that's in danger that maybe has a virus will release pieces of that virus or that bacteria out into the circulation to alert the immune system to say, hey, this is the guy that's breaking in. This is the guy that's creating all the problems. Round up the troops, create some immune cells, and go find and kill this thing. And that's kind of how the body is supposed to function and work. These cells, when cells are in stress or in danger mode, or when cells are in manufacturing mode, they have a high T3 state because they want to turn on that manufacturing process. But when cells are in danger mode, they actually want to slow down the metabolism. They're going to have a lower T3 state inside the cell, or a state of hypothyroidism. And somebody might say, well, that doesn't sound good, but it's actually exactly what we want to happen, because we want to slow down mitochondrial function, which then slows down the amount of oxidative stress we naturally would make during the manufacturing process, and really control the amount of oxidative stress within the cell. And reducing the T3 state inside the cell actually helps turn off that manufacturing process and turn on a bunch of systems inside the cell to ramp up the immune and defense mechanisms. So anytime we have a cell in danger, there's a tendency to a net downregulation of thyroid physiology in the cell, depending on the cells, depending on the tissue. That can result in hypothyroid signs and symptoms. But there's one more key piece that we need to talk about with, especially with these DAMPs and PAMPs. Not only do they alert the immune system to tell the immune system, hey, this is the thing that's causing the damage, and this is the cell or the tissue that's having the struggles, there's a gland in the body called the thyroid gland that has receptors for these DAMPs and PAMPs. And when these DAMPs and PAMPs bind to receptors at the thyroid gland, it can initiate a self-destruct, an inflammation, and damage to the thyroid gland. And it's this binding of these danger particles to the thyroid cells that initiate the inflammation, that initiate the immune inflammatory response, that actually invites the lymphocytes into the thyroid gland to create more of what we call thyroiditis, or the inflammation and damage of the thyroid gland. It's what most people are told is that the thyroid antibodies, the thyroglobulin and TPO antibodies, are like little Pac-Man eating away at their thyroid gland. And so everybody's overly concerned about these thyroid antibodies and how do I suppress them? And the literature just doesn't seem to show that those thyroid antibodies play much of a role in actually destroying the thyroid gland. Thyroglobulin plays no role in destruction of the gland itself, and TPO antibodies cause a very small role. So for people who are struggling with chronic hypothyroid symptoms, they're told the thyroid gland is fine or it's normal, but yet they still have hypothyroid signs and symptoms, they probably have a cell stress, cell danger response that they haven't considered or addressed. For those that have been diagnosed with hypothyroidism, been put on medication and aren't responding well to that medication, it's probably not it could be the dose isn't right, but it's probably not, oh, did I need T4? Did I need T3? What's the secret combination of T4, T3? What's probably going on is they still have this cell stress mechanism going on. And so it doesn't matter which thyroid hormone you're given, it's not going to work as intended because the cells are trying to downregulate their metabolism. So long answer. Hopefully you stayed awake for that one.
I absolutely love that. And you guys know that I personally struggled with my own hypothyroidism and I was taking T4, T3, not feeling any different. And I tried desiccated, felt great, but still wasn't optimal. And it took me finding a naturopath because that was back in 2017. It took me figuring out, okay, hey girl, your cortisol is extremely high. You're very stressed. And of course I had mitochondrial dysfunction that was causing my hypothyroidism on a cellular level. I like to think of too, when we're talking about like not addressing the root cause, I don't know why this is in my head right now, but I like thinking of like, okay, there's dog hair everywhere. If we're gonna vacuum up the dog hair, we're fixing that in the moment, but the dog hair is gonna keep going if we have the dog. So if we keep having the cell stress, whether that's internal or external stress, that could be like you mentioned in your book. And as I've mentioned in my other podcasts, it could be bacteria, toxins, nutrient excess, nutrient deficiencies, even internal traumas that we have not released. These things are a stressor and a danger to our body. And our body's going to do what it should, even though it sucks in the moment. And with symptoms, it's going to ask us to slow down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about stress, I think everybody jumps to the emotional component. And, you know, some people like, I have a lot of emotional stress and they understand that can have a big impact on their physiology. Some people think they can just medicate that, right? If I just take an SSRI or an anti-anxiety medication, that'll fix it and I'm good. But we really have to deal with whatever the stress load is. And usually isn't one thing. It's not just this emotional piece. Cause a lot of times we say, hey, stress, and people go, I don't have a lot of emotional stress. Well, okay. But stress is a lot of things. As you said, it's physical, it's chemical, it's emotional, it's environmental, it is respiratory, it's sleep or lack of sleep, right? So there's a lot of foundational components. We talk about all of those in the book and give recommendations of how to address some of those things in part three of the book. But you're only going to be as healthy as the weakest one of those, what we call fitness factors. And so if you do a great job with your diet, but your emotional fitness is a wreck, you're still not going to be healthy. You're still potentially going to be triggering this danger physiology if the load of stress is excessive. And I think one of the things that we have to also keep in mind is sometimes it's cumulative over time, right? It's not always like I had this big, massive, stressful event and so I know exactly what it is. For many people, they have no idea what's creating this cell stress or cell danger response. A, they have never heard this this mm-hmm. kind of definition, but two, they're like, I don't know. I think I have a pretty good life. I don't know what would cause it, but it's not one thing is that much. I talk about in the book, I use this example a lot, is that if I had two cinder blocks and I put a 2x4 across those cinder blocks, think of the capacity of that 2x4 to hold weight, like the amount of stress your physiology can manage before it goes into danger mode. So think of stress as like 5-pound weights, right? If I start stacking 5-pound weights on that board, I can manage a lot of it. But if the capacity of the board is 100 pounds and I got 100 pounds on there and I put 5 more pounds on, or maybe even 1 more pound on it, doesn't seem like much. Now the board breaks, right? Same thing. Mm-hmm. That happens to us. We're cruising along in life and, you know, you get a cold, you get a virus, you get COVID, and all of a sudden I can't recover. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Now I get this diagnosis, I got that diagnosis, or, you know, there's a slightly stressed, emotionally stressful event in your life. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on, but I can't seem to recover. And there can't imagine that this would seem like a minimal life experience could be the thing that triggered this immune driven issue, but if you exceed, if you've been right at that threshold of capacity for so long, once you break the board, now your body's in danger. You know, you've exceeded capacity. Now you're in danger of physiology. How do you fix it? You know, can I just take away gluten? Can I just take a probiotic? Well, that may not be enough to get you at that point out of danger response. Just like taking that 1 pound weight back off the 2x4 is going to fix the 2x4. I actually have to take all the weight off, right? Get the broken pieces of the 2x4, get another 2x4, nail it to the two pieces. Now it's reinforced. It's built back together. I put it back on the cinder blocks and now I can stack more weight on it. And you know what? Not only can I stack more weight on it, but I probably made the capacity of the board even higher because I went through that stressful event. I recovered from that stressful event. And now I'm more resilient, more adaptable.
I was about to say resiliency is key, really. So I'm absolutely loving what you're going over and your book is absolutely fascinating. I want to, because within your book, like this is the first book I've ever had other than mine that goes a little bit over the problem with conventional thyroid testing. I've never had a book so deeply go into the true issues here, especially when you talk about doctors focusing on TSH as their sole indicator, focusing on the thyroid lab itself and not the person and how they're feeling. So do you mind briefly, or I have it right in front of me. Do you mind briefly saying like, what's going on? Why are they doing this? Because I think this is the most frustrating thing. And if people can understand that it's not truly the doctor just sucks and hates them, I think it'll really help with understanding why their doctor is doing what they are for their treatment and their diagnosis.
Yeah. Like when the original kind of outline of the book, it was an angry book. It's angry at medicine. Imagine. Because of my issues, I came from allopathic medicine and I had frustrations with it. So, you know, I was still angry when I was started writing it. And then Kelly was a medical physician and had her challenges with the medical community. So we were both kind of a little bit angry and we had to, after a couple edits of it, we were like, hey, sounds a little too angry, right? As you get older, you get a little wiser, you get a little softer, we get a little bit more humble, right? And I started to realize that these physicians most of them are really good people, right? They're just doing what they've been taught. The problem is not the doctor itself. The problem is how the allopathic community evaluates and assesses thyroid physiology. And to them, much like almost every health condition, they don't intervene until there's already disease that needs to be either medicated, radiated or cut out, right? Mm-hmm. And so what medical doctors are looking at is that there's sets of guidelines and there's lots of these sets of guidelines. And almost all the guidelines will discuss the level of tissue or cellular hypothyroidism, but they don't look to evaluate it. Why? Because they don't have a set of tools to be able to assess tissue physiology. They haven't been successful when they've tried to address it with more medication, mm-hmm. whether it's T4 or T3. So the allopathic community has said, hey, look, and I'm paraphrasing, right? But it said, look, we're gonna look at just two numbers. So that way we know when we've got a glandular exhaustion and when we need to put more thyroid hormone into the system. And we're going to focus on one value because when we look at adding T4 and T3, that kind of gets things a little bit squirrely. So if we narrow this window down to TSH and free T4, when that TSH is going to give us the screening that when we really lost function of the gland, and then that free T4 value is going to tell us, is it time to provide thyroid medication as T4? And then I only need those two values to determine if I have too much, too little, or just the right amount of T4, because the goal is not to restore optimal physiology in the body. It's to restore TSH. So the doctor only really focuses on those two values. And the guy, all the guidelines say those are the only two numbers that need to be looked at to determine when there's a glandular disorder that needs T4 medication. They talk about T tissue markers, cholesterol, lipids being a great indicator of tissue status of thyroid hormone. They talk about it could be a good thing to take a look at, but then reject it as a thing to be screened on a regular basis. So medical doctors, their hands are kind of tied. It's down to, hey, this is what the guidelines tell me to do. This is what insurance covers. This is what I'm going to do. Some people get frustrated. They're like, well, if the primary cause of hypothyroidism is Hashimoto's, why wouldn't medical doctors run thyroid antibodies? And I would say that most medical doctors probably already assume that the reason somebody has hypothyroidism in a developed country is because it's immune driven. Mm-hmm. But in an allopathic model, we don't do things for immune driven processes other than to put somebody on steroids. And is steroids the appropriate treatment in this situation? The answer is no. And so the thought process is, listen, it's an immune issue. Immune system's out of control. It's destroying the thyroid gland. What's the big deal? Once the gland's destroyed, we just put you on T4, bring TSH back into range. All's good, because they're not even considering what's happening at the tissue level. It's just about restoring TSH and T4. The problem with that is that a lot of people don't feel well when you do that. And in a homeostatic state, TSH might be a good indication of what's happening with thyroid physiology in the body, but in an allostatic state, it is not a great indication of what's going on in the body, because there's, you know, one of the most common issues that occurs in a stress state is high levels of inflammation. And early on, inflammation will actually increase the conversion of T4 to T3 in the hypothalamus, dropping TRH and TSH production. So TSH will go down, might look normal or low in the early stages of glandular damage, but the patient struggling with low T3, poor conversion, high reverse T3, but because the medical doctor's told they don't need to evaluate those numbers, it looks good. It looks fine. And that person is told, hey, you're nuts, you're crazy, you're lazy, you eat too much, you don't exercise, you need an antidepressant, because they're not looking at a fuller picture. And we do this a lot in medicine. We've narrowed the view of how we look at the body to try and make it very specific on what we're trying to test and what we're trying to kind of whack-a-mole back into range with medications.
Absolutely love that you're diving into that. And you guys, I know it's very frustrating when your doctor's like, okay, here's this T4, this levothyroxine, 25 micrograms, let's increase it in 2 months. That's frustrating, but truly it's a doctor following their guidelines. So you either have to speak up and be your own health advocate, or you got to switch and use another doctor. And that's why functional medicine doctors are great, because they're not relying on insurance. They basically don't typically take it. And so they are going past those guidelines and they're truly focusing on the person, their root cause. So Dr. Eric, there's one thing I want to really bring up, because you mentioned it in your book here, and it's something that a lot of people aren't aware of. Let me pull it back up. It's the multi-system adaptive disorder. I saw that and I was like, I like this, because I've never had a name for this, but you planted a name, you and Dr. Kelly. Do you mind telling them, like, what is this multi-system adaptive disorder and how does this, you know, correlate with hypothyroidism and thyroid disorders?
Yeah. So, we love names, right?
Yes, we do.
Right? We love to name stuff. It's fibromyalgia. It is chronic fatigue syndrome. Like, everybody wants to know, what's this thing I can hang my hat on that I can tell everybody I have? And that's frustrating, because in my world of functional medicine, I don't really care what your diagnosis is. I want to understand what's causing that. So I always assume, so, you know, well, even in our world, we say, oh, you have adrenal fatigue, or you have SIBO, or you have hormone dysregulation. Look, when you're in homeostatic regulation, all the systems work optimally, right? We don't have a diagnosis, because everything works optimally. But anytime you're in danger physiology and your cells and tissues are downregulating the less important things to ramp up energy going to cell defense, every system is going to start to become compromised to some degree. So you, me, we see people that, you know, they're like, hey, I think I have a thyroid problem. Okay, well, let's look at your health history. Well, yeah, your adrenal gland's not working well. Your gut's not working well. Your hormones aren't going to regulate well. You're not going to sleep well. You're not breathing well, right? You got all these other things going on. And they're coming in because they think they only have a thyroid problem. Like, no, anytime you have danger physiology, anytime you're in this excessive cell stress state, you're going to have multiple systems that start to become compromised. So you shouldn't see, like, you should expect to have an adrenal problem if you're in chronic stress. You should expect it because your adrenal physiology has to adapt to that chronic stress. You should expect that your gut physiology is going to start to become downregulated, dysfunctional, because your body's not going to put time and energy into making acids and enzymes to digest food when it's too busy trying to fight a fight. The explanation, there's two, you know, analogies I give to clients. One is, you know, if you're being chased by a tiger, are you going to, you're going to stop and take a nap? Everybody says no. Okay. So why do you think you're struggling to sleep? You're in a chronic stress state. You're wondering why you can't sleep well. Well, because you're in danger mode. You got to be on a heightened state of alertness, right? Because that tiger could jump out from anywhere and eat you. If you're being chased by the tiger, you're going to stop and have a meal? No. Right. So does my body need to spend a lot of time and energy making digestive enzymes? Probably not. Right. And so if you're being chased by the proverbial tiger, are you going to stop and have sex? Right. Probably not. Why is my menstrual cycle abnormal? Why don't I have no libido? Right. Why can't I maintain a pregnancy? Because your body is in a stress mode. So this multi-system adaptive disorder, we had to come up with a name. Like when I'm talking to patients and they say, but what do I have? What's wrong with me? This was the easiest thing I could come up with. You got multiple systems that are adapting to this cell stress response. So you have a multi-system adaptive disorder. And I like that terminology better than you have this disease or you have this dysfunction, because really what their physiology is doing is adapting, right? Saying, hey, I don't need energy here. I need to put energy over here. This thing we're turning down, this thing we're turning up. So it's not broken physiology. It's adaptive physiology. At least initially, it's not broken. It can become broken over time if it works in this adapted state for too long. But really the body, we too often look at what's going on with the body as it's broken and it doesn't work, versus I think we should ask a better question is, what's my body trying to protect me from? And
love
I think that,
that,
right. And so that goes to my second analogy that I often give to people is, if let's say, Lisa, you don't have any kids, but let's say your sister, right?
Thank God.
Right. Let's say your sister was sitting at your kitchen island in your new house. Right. And you're having a big party this weekend. You got four burners on, you're making all kinds of food. You're vacuuming, you're doing wash, you're doing all this stuff. She's just sitting at the counter chatting with you, having a good time, right?
Hey, Chrissy, that would totally be you if you're listening to this. Keep going. Right.
But if somebody broke into your house in that moment and started attacking her, would you keep cooking?
Hell no.
Would you take the time to turn all the burners off, pack everything up in nice glass Tupperware and put it in the fridge? Probably not, right? Would you try and slide a load of wash in? Would you try and take a nap? Would you try and have sex really quick before you go help her, right? Probably not going to do any of those things, right? What you're going to do is you're going to go protect your sister, right? And protect yourself. But if I walked in your house in that moment and didn't see that you were protecting yourself, all I saw was the food burning on the stove, right? I smoke, there's clothes all over the place, vacuum cleaners running. I could say, man, Lacey is a terrible housekeeper. She's a terrible cook, right? I could look at all the things that are going on and say, these are all things that are broken. Instead, I really need to ask a better question. And this is really what we should be doing in functional medicine, is saying, why is this occurring? Like, what's going on that the body would want to do it this way versus what we consider normal, right? And I don't think we often look at it. We always consider, oh, my immune system's attacking me. That's a terrible way to look at it. Or my immune system is out of control. Is it? Or is it actually trying to protect you from something? I like to think that the body is pretty smart and there's an innate intelligence within the body, and the body is going to do what it can. And the intelligence of the body is going to do what it can to protect itself until it can't any longer.
I absolutely love that analogy. Fantastic. And my clients need to definitely hear that in regards to, and it's more than just thyroid health, right? We're talking about chronic fatigue, menstrual disorders, especially irregular periods, loss of your menstrual period. your symptoms, as much as they suck, they really are a signal. Your body's saying, hey, help me. There's something going on. And we have to not just say, be like, okay, I'm not feeling good. These are hypothyroid symptoms. Let me throw thyroid medication at it. We need to address, okay, why am I feeling this way? What are the root causes? Why is my body trying to tell me to slow down? Where are the stressors? Where are the dangers?
Absolutely. And we see this as this is a problem in functional medicine and those who prescribe, because they're thinking very allopathically when they go, oh, look, the T4 is not working. You don't feel good on it. We're just going to give you T3. Like, we're going to give you T4 and T3. Okay. Well, if the T4 wasn't working, why do you think the T3 is going to work better? And initially, listen, I don't care what type of medication you give somebody. Initially, it typically makes them feel better because they didn't have it. But they typically plateau. Mm-hmm. Right? So you get, hey, I didn't do good on T4. I did good on T4 when I first got it. And then I plateaued. Okay, we'll give you a stronger dose. Okay, it's a little bit better. But now I'm plateaued. I'll give you a stronger dose. A little bit better. And now I'm actually feeling worse. Oh, now you know why? Because you're over-medicated. Okay, so we're going to keep going back and forth. Well, I still can't find the dose. You know what? They're going to go to an integrative doctor, and the integrative physician is going to say, well, that silly medical doctor only gave you T4. The body, the thyroid gland makes T4 and T3. It does, but the thyroid gland only makes about 5 to 10 micrograms of T3 per day. The other 25, 30, 40 micrograms of T3 comes from the peripheral conversion. Your body taking the T4, converting it to T3 in the peripheral tissues. So you shouldn't need lots of T3 if you have good peripheral conversion. Most people don't have good peripheral conversion. And so they get into the integrative space or the functional medicine world, and it's somebody that says, hey, take T4 and T3. And they run that roller coaster for a while. Then they get frustrated because it's not working. And then they find somebody who's like, whoa, the solution, I got it. It's T3 only. And now they get on this high T3 dose stuff, and then they feel good, but they need more. They feel good, then they need more. Then they feel good, then they need more. And now before you know it, they're taking like 80 micrograms of T3, and they're like, I still feel crappy. Brain fog. My brain's not working. I still have hypothyroid symptoms. I don't know what the heck is going on. And now we've almost got them addicted to T3, and it's really hard to get them off. And all the way along, what wasn't done, in my opinion, is somebody didn't say, why is the body adapting this way? Why does the tissues not want thyroid hormone? I hear people all the time, and I could be totally wrong, but I hear people all the time like, before you can work on your adrenal, you got to fix your thyroid. What? They're just playing whack-a-mole with T4 and T3. They're thinking that if they make enough in the bloodstream, then their thyroid's fixed as long as I normalize the blood, and now I can work on something else. Or you hear, hey, you got to fix your adrenal gland, then you can work on it. This is all nonsense. What you need to do is address what's creating the excessive cell stress on my physiology. Mm-hmm. And if you come at this from the cell danger, allostatic homeostasis or regulation versus homeostatic regulation, it changes the whole concept of what we're trying to do with people and how to get people better. It's not about playing whack-a-mole with medications. We give allopathic medicine a hard time for that. Then they come to functional medicine. We do the same thing, or we do it with supplements. And we're like, hey, those 6 medications are bad, so I'm going to give you 20 supplements. That's not better. That's greenwashing of medicine. We're still overloading them with stuff and not asking the right question, which is why is the body in this danger physiology? That's what we really need to uncover if we're going to help our clients long-term. It's what you work on. It's what I work on. And when you do that with people, and people will let you help them uncover those things.
I was about to say that.
Yep. That's where you see true success. Mm-hmm. I made some posts this weekend respiratory fitness is so important. How you breathe. And it's free to work on. Right. And it's one of the hardest things to get clients to do.
Whoever's sitting here right now, put your tongue on the bottom of your mouth. Don't put it up on the top of your palate and put your shoulders down, because I know you're raising them up and your tongue is up there and you're causing some issues already.
Yeah. So I think we've got some work to do in our world too. So allopathic's not perfect. Functional medicine is not perfect either. But I think what's going to help the people we're trying to take care of, is if we can figure out how to build a bridge, let the allopathic physicians do what they're really good at, crisis care, acute care, management of conditions where people really don't want to put the time, work, and effort into optimizing their health, and let us do what our job is to take those people and say, hey, let's figure out what's at the root here. How do we get you from this poor state of health to a higher state of health via restoring appropriate diet, lifestyle, and these fitness factors, raising your level of fitness in what we call these fitness factors.
Working on your fitness, but I absolutely love that you're mentioning it's more than just physical fitness. We're talking about emotional, mental fitness as well. And I'm saying I absolutely love so many times, you guys, just take a shot every single time you hear it. Don't do that. You mentioned in my book, like emotional freedom technique and tapping, and you talk about EMDR and all these great things that could be good for your parasympathetic nervous system, which you guys is basically our rest and digest, putting your body into a safe space. And I think in the world of, you know, quote unquote medicine, a lot of people disregard that and doing a lot of the parasympathetic work, and that can play a big role with your healing. So I love that you put that in.
Yeah. And there's techniques that, you know, not every technique resonates with everybody. You know, there's a technique called the MAP method, which is, you know, it seemed kind of woo-woo for me when I was first introduced to it, but Kelly had a great experiences with it. Madeline Lowry is a woman I had on my podcast, and we discussed it, and a number of my clients have gone to her and seen amazing changes. And it's just a way to change how we internalize life experiences, encounters, right? I say emotional fitness is the level to which you can encounter life's experiences and quickly convert them into positive experiences that improve your resilience and adaptability to allow you to survive and thrive and promote longevity, right? So why is that so important? Well, if you've got all this emotional baggage and instead of being able to turn that quickly into a positive experience or a life lesson that you can grow from, and you stay in that pity party mentality, man, that's a huge thing that's going to disrupt your sleep. It's going to create sympathetic upregulation. It's going to downregulate your thyroid physiology. It's going to create respiratory issues. You can't get somebody well if one of the key foundational factors, emotional health and well-being and their emotional fitness.
All right, you guys, I am so sorry. Zoom kicked us out. Dr. Eric Balkovich was being amazing and describing something for us. Eric, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. And I know you've got a lot of other things to do. So can you tell my listeners where the heck can they follow you, find your book? Because you put out information on like a day-to-day basis and they need to follow you.
Thank you. I'm most prolific, I guess, on Instagram, that where I get a lot of content on there. So if they follow me, Dr. Balkovich, on Instagram, I think that's where I am. I think we post on Facebook too, but I don't really ever go on Facebook. Most of my stuff gets posted on Instagram. So I'd say go there. I have a podcast called the Thyroid Answers Podcast, which you've been on twice, I think, so far. And we've talked, last time you were on, we talked about your new book, and congratulations, by the way, you did a great job.
Thank you.
And so book, podcast, Instagram, I've got Thyroid Thursday videos. So I have a YouTube state channel that we're working on, but pretty much every Thursday I do a Thyroid Thursday video, which is kind of like a 10-minute video on some thyroid topic. So those are the best places. If somebody's looking to maybe consult with me or consider wanting to work with me, they can go to my website, rejuvigencenter.com, and schedule a discovery call. And that's where we can have a short chat, talk about what they're looking for, making sure they're looking for a functional medicine approach. And if they are, then we can talk about what the next steps look like.
I absolutely love it. Dr. Eric, thank you so much for taking your time to come on my podcast, sharing your knowledge and wisdom. And you guys, please make sure to check out his book, The Thyroid Debacle. It'll be all in the description below. And as you know, I am a big fan of finding the root cause of everything, root cause approach only. And I love that Dr. Eric is. And make sure you guys are being your own health advocate, no matter what you're struggling with. And understand your body is asking for help. It doesn't hate you. It loves you. Those signals are going off, and listen to them. Hope you guys have a great day.